Hi there. You're listening to the Belly Dance Geek Clubhouse, and I'm your hostess, Heather Wayman. Okay, welcome everybody. This is Heather Wayman, director at Belly Dance Geek, and I want to welcome you to episode 75 of the Belly Dance Geek Clubhouse. The Belly Dance Geek Clubhouse is a place where dancers can get together and geek out on all things that are hard to get in classes and on DVDs. If you want help with the what, things like moves, combos, and choreography, there are a lot of resources out there for you. But if you need help with the why and the how, things like musicality, culture, business, and composition, that can be a lot harder to find. So every month we interview a different guest expert on a different geeky topic, and we always have time for questions and answers so you can geek out too. So if you think that knowledge and creativity go together like chocolate and peanut butter, or maybe red wine and chocolate, it's one of my favorites, you are in the right spot. And if you've got a product, a service, or an event that you'd like to promote, we'd love to have you become a Clubhouse sponsor. It helps us cover the cost of producing the show, and it helps you to reach over 1,500 enthusiastic and engaged belly dance geeks. You can find information about sponsoring the Clubhouse at bellydancegeek.com/sponsor. My guest today is Nada Almasriya of Egypt and Toronto. She is a graduate of the Cairo University with a degree in law and a minor in history of Egyptian culture and dance traditions. Nada has spent most of her life training, teaching, and performing internationally as a professional dancer. Her international dance career began with the prestigious Reda Troupe School, Egypt's first most famous folkloric dance company. Nada Almasriya is the artistic director and co-founder of the Egyptian Dance Academy based in Toronto and regularly teaches and performs around the world. And if I could just share a quote from the legendary dancer, actress, and cultural icon Fifi Abdo, she says of Nada Almasriya that Nada is the ambassador of Egyptian dance in Canada. And I think that we are so very fortunate to have her with us. And with that, Nada, welcome. Welcome to the Clubhouse.
Hello.
Thank you for being with us. I really, really appreciate you taking the time to come and be with us.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Now, don't worry about rambling. I just want you to tell everybody your origin story, to help us get to know you and how you got started in Oriental and folkloric dance.
It's always very interesting questions when we get asked that question, because we always, Egyptian in general, we always think that we were born thinking that we want to be dancers. And it's a similar story here as well. I think I was dancing since I was 6 years old, or that's as my early memories, right? And since it's a culture based on dance, it was something kind of inevitable to be dancing as a young age. And then I took it too serious, I guess, and that's where I ended. Even though I finished a degree in, I'm a certified lawyer, and I own a travel company. I own a hotel in Cairo. So I do a lot of things at the same time, but dance still took a big, big part of my life.
Wow. Did you ever practice law?
Just for 2 years.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Dance.
I wasn't very big on it. I wasn't very big on it. It was more of like my dad wanted all of us to have a real high degree, you know, and something that he can understand, right?
Yes. That's so interesting, though. It always amazes me the different interest levels and education levels just the things that dancers are involved in. It's very broad.
True, very true, very true.
Yeah. All right. Fantastic. Well, so today's topic is all about Bellity. Bellity, the music, Bellity, the dance, and Bellity, the culture. And we were talking for a few minutes beforehand about the actual word Bellity, and I, from my own perspective, and maybe for a lot of other folks too, in the beginning, I thought, well, melody's a dance. I didn't know that it was also a music and a rhythm. You know, we'll talk about the rhythm and culture. There are a lot of facets to melody. So I think first off, the most logical progression would be to talk about the music, which is called a melody progression, right?
Well, it's a section in the music, you know what I mean? Where it's called that. And now the music of melodies has a variety of options and variety of music that would be called melody. Like melody, everybody, when they hear melody, there is a difference between the melody progression and the melody music as a song, right? Because we have songs that are melody, but it doesn't have the same melody in it, right? The accordion work on it. So it all depends. When we approaching music, we need to understand it from which perspective that we understanding the music from. Is a perspective of a dancer or a perspective of a listener, right? Are we just listening to the music like the general public? Then there is so many ballady, there's so many music that's called ballady, and it's not necessarily has the same ideas that we are thinking as dancers, right? Now, if we are, which I think we should focus on that section today because of the time, I believe probably we don't have a lot of time to cover all the aspects of it, is we should work with, as a dancer, using ballady music, what exactly my expectation in the ballad music, and what is which songs called ballad music and which are not ballad music. I think this is where we should focus on.
What okay. You think? Absolutely. You are in the driver's seat here. Teach
Thank
us.
You. So, for example, we have songs that are ballady, you know, like Kay Dala Uzdala and Minyumi, right? That song, you probably guys know, you know, Kay Dala Uzdala and Minyumi. Iwa, right?
Okay, so can you say the name of that song?
Kayda? El Uzdel.
Okay. Would it be possible to put that in the chat box? Could you do that?
Would it like type it?
If it's not too
hard. I'm just trying to figure out the how to do it.
are you on a laptop?
No, I'm on my phone, of course.
oh gosh, this is so great. Okay, I think if you tap it, it'll bring up a window, or not a window, but a little bar at the bottom.
Oh yes, I see something here, and there is something called more. So let me see, where can I? Maybe do you know? Michelle, maybe do you know? Let's do it again. Maybe what it says, participants? No.
Well, okay. No. It's okay. Okay, so Kaida, K-I-D-A, yes?
Yeah, you can spell it any way you like, because remember, we have a different alphabet, right? So
right.
You can say K, I can just make up the spelling for you. So it's Kaida, K-A-I-D-A, Kaida.
Okay.
El-Ausdal, E-L-Z-O-U-A-L.
O-U-A-L.
Yeah, okay, that was there. And I could provide you some links for this stuff later too.
Perfect.
If you like, you know.
Yes, please. We'll put it on the episode page.
Yeah. So these songs are ballady songs. You know, I'm sure one that everybody knows is you know, Taht el Shebak, right?
Yes.
Is also has the flavor of ballady. There's so many songs within that kind of nice flavor of ballady, but they're not. It's not ballady tableau. So you have to identify: is it a ballady tableau, or is the music ballady tableau, or the music just ballady references to the country and what we do there, right? Mm-hmm. So most of the time when we're doing ballady, especially like nowadays too, there's a lot of ballady tableaus, because ballady tableaus is very rich and it has the character, it has the idea, the music itself always, and I'm going to talk right now about the structure of the music of the tableau, ballady tableau, okay? So in the ballady tableau, because it is a tableau, it means a story, And in the Baladi character, we have so many stories, right? And they thrive and they come from the real culture, right? From everyday life. So the Baladi woman goes to the market. The Baladi woman gather with her sisters and having a nice evening and dancing together, right? The Baladi woman in the wedding and how they look at the and when I say for us, for foreigners, you say Baladi woman, but when we are saying that, we're saying a normal Egyptian woman in those circumstances, right? All these circumstances divide a different story, and those stories becomes the tableau that we put on stage. And this music repertoire that tableau, right? So in order for a tableau to happen, we have a beginning of a story, a middle of a story, and an end of a story, right? In anything. So in the tableau, it always starts talking about that beautiful woman, because a Baladi woman is known for her strength, for her beauty, right? And the beauty is not here defined by how she looks or how her body shape is. It's defined by her character more than that. And her character is strong, she's respectful, she has just the good mix between everything, right? I'm not gonna go into that section because, again, this is, could be another hour just talking about her personality, so let's stick with the music, okay? So it starts with a story about this woman. So it's the opening of the story, right? So that's called the introduction of the tableau. After that, we go into, after the tableau, we go into the Taqseem Baladi, which is the Taqseem on the accordion, okay? And that's what the progression is. The progression is the climax that's built by the accordionist and the drummer, and mainly the accordionist, of course, you know? Starting from very soft and very, it's like a conversation. It's when you start a conversation, you're warming up, you're saying hello, exactly like what we did in the beginning of this conversation, right? And slowly we're coming in and then we're talking even more. So the same thing, that's what the accordion does. He slowly starts with a very beautiful, soft melodic phrases, and then slowly builds up on those melodic phrases. And it's completely improvised in real life. Like when I dance in Cairo with my live musicians, the section of Taqseem, I just choose a flavor of which Awadi or which Taqseem I want. But I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's coming. I have prediction because I've done it 6 million times, but I really, neither he or me know where we're going exactly, you know? So this section is what's the word progression called. You know, so sometimes you have a piece of music which is only about the Taqseem, about the Awadi progression, right? And within that section of Awadi, there's so many flavors, right? So in order for us to understand the flavor of the music in that section of Awadi that comes after the introduction, we need to understand Cairo. Cairo is made of so many immigrants from different cities in Egypt. So people who immigrated from Alexandria, immigrated from the countryside, immigrated from Upper Egypt, and they took Cairo as their city to live in, and it becomes, they have kids and their kids grow in that city, right? So something like Toronto in Canada or like New York in America, except it's locally only. People come from Egypt to live in Cairo. So when these people, their kids grow up in Cairo, when they dance Baladi, the roots have to affect that. So the flavor of the Awadi or the progression of the Taqseem, it will draw from that city. So sometimes you will hear the musician said, you know, it's an Alexandrian Awadi. So you know, and they will start with something like that, having the flavor of the Alexandrian style. Or, you know, it will be something completely, you know, Baladi from Cairo, and we will hear something like Aminti Billah, right? Mm-hmm. So all these flavors is what I can ask the musician. I can say, you know what, can we have something like this? Or can we play from this kind of idea or this kind of mood or this kind of details. But what's coming, I don't know. And he doesn't know either, right? He may have an idea to drive through, or he may pull from, the stuff that he knows already. But in the end, we don't know how we started exactly and how we're ending exactly. So, yeah, it's a nice adventurous, but of course we done it a lot, but we understand each other and we understand how this, the ending of any scene has a specific structure that every dancer should understand. Every dancer should understand that every section of melody has an end, and you need to understand how softly and effortless to end with that, right? But again, I'm not gonna go away from the music. Another subject. Yes. So we had the introduction, right? Which is the story. Let's say Nada is going to pick up the water from the water place to the house, right? So the story about her walking, how beautiful she is, and how her body is, and how, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So that's the introduction of the tableau. Then the ballady progression. In the ballady progression, of course, we go into after that, after the melodic phrases are building up, now we're going into the question and answer. So we're going into the drummer and the accordionist. They play the little game together. And this is really, honest to God, come from real life. Like, I've seen this 6 million times when I was a child, you know, in Cairo, in the weddings, where the accordions and the, you know, he goes into his own ta'asim and the tarab of the ta'asim of the in the accordion. And then the drummer starts doing the little game between each other, him and her, him and the two musicians. And in the meanwhile, they're always involved a dancer, because in every wedding and in every ceremony, there is the girl of the family that is famous for being so good of a dancer, you know? So that every time there's a celebration, they drag her down to the main area and say, you have to dance. Her mother takes the hip scarf, her head scarf, or her aunt, and wrap it around her hips, right? Now, you have three people involved here. The musician is trying to really tease that girl so she can bring the most out of the dance, out of her body, because, you know, it's an exciting thing to everybody, and everybody wants to watch. And the two musicians are playing the game together and showcasing that beautiful softness of the music, yet the accent of the percussions work as well. So there's a big conversation between all three of them and the audience as a force, or in these circumstances, the family who gathered on the wedding or whatever ceremony it is. So we came into the question and answer here, right? So we had introduction, then we had the progression of the melodic progressions, and then after that we went into the question and answer, right? Mm-hmm. Now after that, the whole atmosphere becomes almost like nostalgic. How? They play things that we all relate to. And my father would remember, my grandmother would remember, like, oh, ya Hassan, ya khulil ginina, ya Hassan, right? So, and he moves on, right? They go on into this beautiful trip of getting different melody from different songs that all of us love very much, especially our parents who lived that time and lived that age on the 40s and all that time, right? And they start making references using the melody of it, or even the singing in the tableau to get that excitement in there, right? Building some emotion and interesting bonding with the audience, right? And then after that, they go into the speedy part, which they call, I believe, and I don't like to be quoted on the terminology because I'm not a musician. I'm just talking from a perspective of a dancer. Yeah, it's the tit part, which is speeds up ma'sum saria. Right? Because remember when we did the progression of the melody and we went to the question and answer, we may go after to Masmoudi Saghir because it's still so moody, right? Dum dum ra'ata, dum ra'ata, ana dum. Still moody, the dancer in the mood, the musicians in that mood, right? That sort of like a sensual, heavy mood, beautiful, you know, like that. And then they move into the cultural references, which is like I said, they go to Ya Hassan, Ya Khul al-Ginina, maybe Ya Tamr Henna, maybe Ya Atr al-Nada, you know? They go to different places, right? And then when they come back, they may choose to go either speed it up again, or they may choose to go back into the melodic for calmness, to calm each other again down, and they go into the melody again, and the melody before it progressed, right? Or it might go into the speedy part, and that's the Ma'soom Sariya, right? And that's when everybody gets so excited, right? And you can tell the music gets really excited and everybody's happy and everybody's clapping so hard, you know, and the dancer's getting all her best energy on that section, right? And showcasing from, you know, from nice and gooey and soft to butterfly and, you know, and moving all over the place, right? And stuff. So after that, As a dancer and as a dancer working with live musicians, right, there are what we call exit, right? So we have finale and the exit, two of them, right? So you're prepping for the end of it and you're prepping for your so khuruj means to go out, mashi, and khuruj, it's basically you gesturing to the musician that that's it, you've had enough, and you had a good trip, we need to finish, it's done, right? And usually, because you are all in sync, you may come to the same conclusion, but still, because you are the leader, you need to tell them, okay, this is the time, let's go, let's finish it. And what khuruj means is nothing but speeding up whatever in Ma'soom Sariya that we were doing to take it into the finale.
Okay, and that word, khuruj?
Khuruj, yeah.
Bill?
Yeah, it's a K-H-O-U-R-G, khuruj.
Okay.
And all it means to get out, but what it really, that's what translates in English, but really what it means, let's prep to get the finale done.
Okay.
That's what it means, okay? So it's when you give this gesture to the musician, if you with the hands.
Yeah.
Let's go. Let's finish it, right? Yeah. And then you give them some time to prep for that, and then after that, you prep the finale. Now the finale is very important to be agreed on ahead. Unless this is a composed piece of music, of course, you will still have to choose how you want to end in the composition if it's a CD, right? Mm-hmm. But if it's with live musicians, you want to understand how are you ending? Are you going to end after, before the khuruj? Are you going to go into a drum solo in there, a segment of a drum solo, and you're going to end with that? So your khuruj is going to come out of the drum solo by speeding the tempo of the drum solo and then you end? Or are you going to finish your drum solo there and you're going to go back again to the fast Ma'soom Sariya, and then you're going to end with what we call lazma. And the lazma, yeah, a lazma is it has so many meanings actually in music, but in this circumstances, it means a particular way. There's a few endings, more than a few, of course, but the few that I know, you know, that you know that this music can end with, right? And you would just say to the musician, can you please end with this lazma, for example, da la 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 bum bum. So you will say that to them, I want to end with that, you know? Or you will create your own finale. You would say, okay, I want to guide the drummer into my own finale. You know, bam, 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 bam. So you are choosing you are, how you're going to end your tableau and how you're going to end your finale. Of course, this choice is happening whether you're recording it as a CD or you're dancing it live, but of course you would agree ahead which type of awad would you like to start with, right? Mm-hmm. Would you like to go into it? And how are you ending your piece? Because it doesn't matter what happened in the middle, because he doesn't know what's going to happen in the middle. And you don't know what's going to happen in the middle as well. But you know that you want to end this particular way because you need to catch each other very well. So we know the beginning, we know the ending, and in the middle, and the awad itself with the progression and the melody, we don't know exactly where his feeling is going to go. We know that this is the style that we're going on. It's like saying, I want to red fabric, but I'm not sure exactly what I'm going to do with it. Let's figure out along the way, are we going to make a dress or are we going to make a pants and a shirt? You know?
I love it. Okay. So I think it's very interesting that there are different, you called it the tableaus, that the flavor comes from different places. I didn't know that, but if I thought about it more, I probably would have realized that.
You would have guessed it because you've heard Baladi where you're like, wait a minute, that sounds exactly like the Alexandrian piece that I, you know, danced before or something, like the beginning of it, right? It's just the flavor, right?
Yeah. Now, just the flavor. Now the next study is to study different Baladis from different areas. To learn what those sound like.
It's a flavor. It's not a particular. It's not a style from every area. It's just the flavor that comes. He's still playing the accordion. Still playing the same structure, same everything. But it's just where his flavor is coming from. That's what determine the idea. Remember that in the old days, Baladi was not even done with accordion because accordion is a very new instrument for Egypt. Right? It's Baladi used to be with the nai. And in this circumstances, the nai would have the countryside flavor.
Oh, I did not know that. I didn't realize that the accordion was a relatively new instrument.
Yeah, I mean, it's not new as like, talking like, you know, a long time still, you know. Sure. But I mean, to be an original instrument to Egypt, original, you know. Yeah. Like our original instrument, of course, nai, you know, all the old, really, really old instrument, you know?
Yes. Okay. All right. I was circling around a question and I didn't write it down and I don't remember what it was. I know. So the Baladi, very often it is improvised and you talked about that, but there are also compositions that are like, Taktil El Shebek. This is a Baladi flavor and it is composed. Yes.
Yeah. But We have to understand what improvisation here, because for example, I have a tableau. The first part of the tableau could be improvised and could be completely choreographed, and I recommend that it's choreographed, because when you have a set of like the beginning of the tableau is a song, is an actual song, right? Talking about Nada going to the market, Nada doing this, Nada doing that. So it's recommended that you have what we call in ideas or some marking to draw from, right? Yeah. And it should be loose, so you can leave your creativity to happen on the spot and depend on the audience and etc. Right? Now, the actual Baladi itself, like the progression, this is what the improvisation come from, because the improvisation here, like I said, unless it's a recorded thing, he doesn't know where he's going and where he's coming from with his melody, right? So that's definitely going to be improvised. However, that does not take from understanding composition and planning. I'm not going to be exactly the same idea. I'm going to use the composition of space, composition of movement, ideas. But we need to understand that in the end, if composition of the choice between a composition or a set of movement that I put in my head, or combination, versus how effortless the melody is, No. We don't care about your composition. We don't care about how fascinating you can connect four moves together and give us 6 million moves. We care more about that you're really, truly in it, and truly connected and truly effortless.
I love that. We care more about that you are truly in it. I want to quote you on that. That's fantastic. Yeah, I think a lot of times we get really tied down with moves and choreographies. And that's one of the things that I love about Belity Progression is that it's just so, you are
natural.
In it. Yeah,
yes.
Natural. Yes. It feels
good. It's very natural. Yeah. And you know what? It's very difficult. It's probably the most difficult thing anybody can dance, because connecting is not about one move and two moves. It's about in between those two moves. How are you effortlessly connecting these two moves? Like, I'm not going to say softly. I'm going to use the word naturally, because it's logically. Natural is logic, you know? And if we're able to connect those melodies together, and because our body momentum is different from one time to one time, you cannot ever dance the same thing the same way. So if you let your body respond to that, have an idea, have some combination you had that you want to use, but don't be rigid to it. Let the transitions change the idea that's coming after, and the idea that's coming after, and draw more from your feelings, and you are really being in the moment and being truthful with it.
Yes, transitions are so important.
That's what dance is.
That's where it is, yes.
Yeah, that's where dance is. Dance is not about memorizing some movement and combination. It's about actually being able to transition with a truthful, again, being completely in it.
Oh, that makes me want to get up and dance. Okay, so we have talked about the music, and I would like to talk more about the dance and the different sections of the Belity. And mm-hmm. The feeling that comes from each one. Can we delve a little bit more into that?
Sure, yeah. So let's start again from the beginning with the tableau. The tableau usually have, of course, lyrics and story, right? And that lyrics and story is very important to be expressed. And our choreography or marking, whatever it is, or combination, whatever it is, the dancer style, because every dancer works in different ways. Some dancers like choreographies and they cannot improvise, and some dancers can do both, and some dancers only can improvise, you know? So when you're choreographing, marking, or whatever it is that you're doing in that section, you need to express the storyline of that. You are telling them the story, and you need to really express the storyline on your steps. Use the appropriate moves that express the word, you know. You can't have a move, for example, you know, the maqam or the feel of the mood here can't be very, can't be so serious, right? And you are being so sensual. You have to understand what the word's saying. If it's the word saying, and her father is right after her and she's scared he will see her, please express that with the appropriate one. Don't sit and omi yourself down, you know, like you don't care, because it's not going to be the realistic approach of it if really a ballet woman would have been in that situation, you know? Yeah. So take the words, understand them, learn how to sing them, not because you need to sing them. You don't need to sing them if you don't want to, but you need to understand the move as it happens with the word. Then it makes sense. It adds also sincerity, because if I say the word, if I say in English, thank you, and I understand the implication of the word thank you, it comes truly from my heart. But if I don't understand it, and I'm just thinking, thank you very much, but I don't know which one of those four words that I said that means I really like what you did to me, you know, or mm-hmm. how you helped me, then it's not sincere, you know. So when you approach the first part of the tableau, which is the introduction, you need to really understand that. And of course, the typical things of whether marking or choreographic or improvising, you need to understand your stage composition. You need to understand that this is the part where you travel all over. This is the part where you really use the stage. this is the part where you incorporate all traveling steps, ideas, and things like that. When you move into the next part, which is the progression, I'm going to say the taqsim accordion, then you need also to understand here that there is a certain naturalism about the process of the story. So for example, sometimes I see dancers, they finish the first part of the tableau, and then all of a sudden, within 1 second, the hip scarf is on the hip and she's already taqsiming. Well, that's not what would have happened in real life, you know? And that's not what would have happened with live musicians, right? Because for them to transition from one section that it's loud and exciting, the whole orchestra is going, to only one instrument playing, is going to take a good transition on the whole mood and time as well. And you need to acknowledge that, and you need to understand that. Also, the musician playing it out of circumstances on real life that happened in the old days and still happening until now. So if it's on a wedding and this is happening, it's going to be the same thing. There will be like a lot of pulling and pushing, trying to get that dancer, the girl to dance. The mother's trying to tie her hips and she's acting shy. Oh, my father is there. Oh, no, no, no. And this and this and yes. So take a little bit of time in that. And I know when you have somebody will say, but we have a recording music, the specific time, I don't want to miss the few phrases. Then in these circumstances, just take a couple of phrases to breathe and to get everybody excited to see, because you're saying, okay, I agree. Now I'm going to dance the ballady, that theme. So let them understand that you are about to do it. Put the hip scarf and, you know, be shy, be flirty, whatever is your personality, do it, you know, and then go into the taqsim, because the taqsim also, I also see them going straight with the musician, with the accordionist, right away from the first phrase. No, because you don't know where he's going. You don't know. In real life, you don't know where he's going. So you, like the audience, is trying to figure out where he's going. So take a deep breath, feel the music, hear it in your head, in your heart. Just give a second, few seconds for your body to adapt to that. The new changes between the intro on the tableau and going into that progression of the taqsim ballady. And then go in, because when you go in at that point, it's like somebody running, and then we have to stop. You have to slow it down. You don't stop like a full stop.
Right.
So you take it slowly and hear and go with each melody. Don't have prediction. Prediction is very bad with improvisation, especially on the taqsim ballady, or in taqsim in general, not just ballady progression, but in general. Because when you have assumption, you can have prediction, but not assumption. And I hope I understand this in English, because again, English is not my first language. Mm-hmm. But I think it's okay to have prediction within doubts. But assuming is like, you know, for sure it's going to be like this, you know?
Like with recorded music.
Yes. No, with live music, because recorded music, you will know it by heart.
Exactly. That's what I was saying. So you don't act like that with live music.
Exactly. Don't act like that, because it's going to kill that naturalism and that bonding of energy between you and the musician. So you need to give a little bit of a lay, you know, to see, let me feel how this is going to make me feel. And because you are in the moment, it's going to take you where he's going, because he's feeding from you and you're feeding from him. It's not one way or the other, you know, he's seeing your movement and it's inspiring him to put the next phrase, and you're hearing him and inspiring you to plan the next part, you know. Mm-hmm. So again, take it easy with that. Don't jump in it. Allow the climax to happen. allow the climax to happen, allow the progression of the melody of the melody of the theme to build up. Don't give us everything in the first 30 seconds and then you're left empty.
Yeah,
because you repeat, you have no more to give, you know. Like, take it easy and build us, make us want more and want more and want more and want more, and then all of a sudden, yes, you know.
Yes,
that's what I think in the melody progression. I never really plan it. I try to just let my body go, you know.
Yeah.
So after the melody, please interrupt me if you want to say anything, because I can talk forever about
that. Well, I've got little questions I'm going to ask you after we go through the, because I don't want to get off track. This is wonderful.
Okay. So after the melody, the theme, of course, and the question and answer here, remember, again, I'm going to go in the story in the beginning. I'm acting it. I'm being that character in the story. Then the scene came, because the scene came based on the said, okay, and now we want to see this beautiful ballady woman dancing, right? So I'm here seeing everybody looking at me, and everybody's just like really mesmerized to see what I'm going to do, you know, and I'm into the moment and I'm giving it, you know, my best feeling and my best ideas. And then comes the question and answer. And the question and answer is a little game, and you need to understand that. You need to understand is like, now you have showcased your skills of composition in the beginning and the skills of traveling moves. And then you showcased on the progression how soft the melodic and texture and nuances and little details on your body and your whole body, using everything, not just your belly, not just ballady is not just about my belly, it's about every single part of my body, my arms, my fingers, my chest, my every single thing, my legs, every single thing should be involved. It's not just about my hips and my bum and my belly. It's every single thing is working in there of that idea. So now you are showcasing another sector as a dancer, right? Which is your percussion ear and your catching of the accents, you know? And the for a dancer, and even back then for just in a wedding, a girl is showcasing her control of muscles, you know? Her control of muscles and how that she is healthy, you know, and that she can control all the muscle and showcase that little, I catch and I give only what I want of ideas. Everything has references into why is she dancing in the wedding, because her mother wants her to get married. So every single thing is catered towards that. It's catered to give. She can be presentable, and in the first part, she can be presentable and she can show her long legs and her long arms and this and that, right? And how healthy everything is. And then look how her softness and how she can be a real woman and a real sensuality is there, and she can feel it and she can express it. And now see how she's in control. And she can show her muscles and healthiness and her body. All this is like 7,000 years old metaphors, you know, and reality and the society, you know, the culture being expressed in just a simple piece, you know. After the little play on the accents, right? Mm-hmm. Then we go back to the fast masum seria, okay. And this is when everybody, think about it, that everybody had a good couple of whiskeys, glasses, and they made a good, I don't know what you guys say in English, but they made a, we say in Arabic, made a good head, like they are, their head is like just spinning with happiness, you know? And
here we might say that we have a little buzz, or
yes, that's yeah. it. That's it. Yeah. They're like, they're high with happiness. They mm-hmm. have a buzz in their head, and now it's getting exciting. you know, getting exciting. So everybody wants to clap, but she gets excited with the movements, you know what I mean? And things are again, making the references to these songs that we love, because Hassan Yakhul Ginina is a love story. So we're relating to that as we're dancing. Yahenna, Yahenna, Ya Atr Nada is very, the mood and the maqam that they play these songs from, it makes you completely hypnotized with shagan, you know, shagan. And the shagan is a very, very difficult word to explain in English because there's no equivalent in English. The highest you can get is literally being have a really good you're high in a very good way, or you're like drunk in a very good way, you know, okay. But with happiness. But Egyptian, we don't need to drink. We don't need any of the other stuff. We get drunk with our music, you know. So that maqam is called shagan. It's like almost happy, sad, and the same time. It's not, it could be nostalgia, but it's not nostalgia, because it could happen without being nostalgic either. Mm-hmm. You know, so in this section, that's what happened. And then it gets so exciting with the Masum Saria, and then it's a wonderful time to say goodbye and end the pieces, rather than, you know what I mean, drag again and stuff, especially for dancers. And at that point, you are signaling your khurug, right? And getting a powerful ending. A powerful ending for any piece of dance is very important. That's why it needs to be planned. I always say to the musician, I don't care what happened in the middle, but the finale is the most important part. You know, you focus with me there, you know. So it's very important to really know what you're going to do, because you have built up this beautiful expectation, and you need to, like you guys say in English, end in a very high note.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Wow. Such fantastic information. Okay. I do have some questions. Earlier, I wrote this down. When you were talking during the tableau about the lyrics and the singing, learning them not so that you could sing them, it made me think of sometimes you'll see a dancer dancing and you'll see her mouthing the words. What are your thoughts? What is the Egyptian way of doing that? Is it yes or no? Should we do that or not?
There is no Egyptian way or non-Egyptian way on that, because there are dancers that don't sing with the music, you know. There are dancers that sing with the music, but my two cents about this one is, if you understand the music and you understand the lyrics, you need to understand two things. Is the song set from first position, second position, or third position? Okay, so is the song sung about you, or you are singing it, right? Mm-hmm. Or you are talking from the past about you?
Is that still the first position?
Third position, that one.
Oh, okay, so the first position is the song is about you.
Yeah, first position, no, the first position means I am speaking about what's happening.
Okay.
Second, this of course hypothetical ideas, like hypothetical terminology, okay?
Okay.
Of it. So second positions means he's talking about you, okay?
Okay.
Third is you talking about talking about yourself in the past or in the future. That something either happened or about to happen.
Okay.
Okay. So Think about it. If the song is from a second position, this guy is flirting with me and talking about how beautiful I am and how my long hair and how my this and how my that. Sometimes it doesn't make sense for us to sing that because it's so weird.
Oh, okay, I see.
Okay, I'm going to contradict this, even though I said it right now, I'm going to contradict it still, because sometimes we get so excited and we sing it, even though it's the second position. I always say in this matter, if you are singing it truly from the heart, truly, you couldn't control yourself, mm-hmm. and it's truly coming from the heart, it's okay, because it's going to arrive to the heart of us as well. Because we're going to say, oh my God, she's completely immersed into it. She's not thinking that she is actually talking about herself. And we're going to love it still. It's okay. But if you're doing it superficially, mm-hmm. and not coming from truthful absence
and of understanding.
And understanding, then it's so annoying and we don't want to hear it. It bothers us because we think, oh my God, she's so arrogant. Do you know what I mean?
She just doesn't know what she's doing.
Exactly. First position, again, you have the choice not to sing it, and you have the choice to sing it. There are so many of our old dancers did not sing the song, even though it's from a first position, which means her telling to them the story, you know?
Yes.
Like saying, oh, look what he did for me, look how he likes me, you know, stuff like that. That's from a first position, okay? You can sing it if you like, and you don't have to sing it if you don't like. If you notice most Egyptian music, we always have a section where it's so exciting, we must sing it. Nobody can control themselves. We must sing it. You know, and this is called the high note in the music, and it's okay. You can sing it because it's like we're all going so crazy that we're singing it. It doesn't matter the first, second, third. It doesn't matter. You know, if it's from third position, which is again you seeing yourself in the future or in the past, again you have the choice to sing it or not sing it. But it is applicable if you want to sing it, because you are talking about you, what happened to you in the past, or what about to happen to you in the future, or what's happening right now. But you are talking about yourself and talking about, see how I feel, so you see what I'm doing, I like you, you don't like me, whatever it is the story is, right? Mm-hmm. So this is what I think about singing. Is not, there's no straight answer, but this is what I think. You have to understand what the song is about and how it's sung or how it's said.
Just another indication of why it's so important to know the lyrics of the music that you're dancing to, even if it's an instrumental, because very often instrumental, yes, they have lyrics, but they may just not be there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. So there was that one. Okay. When we were talking about the improvisation of the music of the melody, being natural and flowing, how do you approach it the same way when it's recorded music, even though you know how it's going to be? Do you recommend that time to let the phrases go by in the accordion?
Yes. If you have a chance and you're making your own music, allow them to give you that. Of course, we understand that stage has protocol too, right? So mm-hmm. we have a specific seconds that we cannot just fool around. We need to get into what we're doing, right? So as much as like when you're composing it with your musicians, for example, if you're making your own music, you understand and you acknowledge that. And the musician usually knows by nature because they have done the music for 6 million years, right? But yes, I recommend that if you are doing a CD that is not yours and you're dancing from it, is to take that first, it's literally the first two phrases, or, you know, the first one connected phrase, one section of a phrase, for example, you know, yeah. Take it, put your hip scarf on. I mean, your hip scarf on, you know, allow the audience to see your natural you, you know, out of your character. Because remember, when we are ballady women, we are not ourselves unless you are really that ballady woman. Do you know? Like for example, I know most people don't know this about me, but I didn't grow up in I grew up with my grandmother in a middle class area, actually, you know. And only when I lived with my dad when I was 15 that I actually saw what ballady place looked like, you know. So I grew up, I mean, I saw it before 15, of course, because I used to go visit my dad and stuff. But all I'm saying is, like, if you will to categorize me, I'm not a baladi woman in real life, you know? I'm more of the middle class, because we have shabi, baladi, middle class, and then you have the upper class, right? But when you have to be that personality, because it's not you, right? You have to be completely immersed into it, 100% connected. So how can I connect to this without taking that time, right? And emerging into it. So when you break a little bit for putting the hip scarf, it's like as if they're seeing Nada with her natural way, and then I go into the personality again, you know? Because a lot of people think when they see me in baladi, they think, wow, she's like really sassy, she's really this, she's really that. And when they meet me live, they're like completely shocked, because I'm actually completely the opposite. I'm very serious woman. I'm very shy, actually, in real life, extremely shy, you know? And it's just I know it is her, and it is true. Like, I mean, even my husband, we always joke, and he always say, I would like to meet that woman on stage, you know.
It is. It's a different woman on stage. I understand.
Yes, and this is what I'm saying. It's like when you take your time to put your hip scarf, you know, they see that little flash of your real you, and then you go into the personality again of that baladi woman, and that adds a charm and adds connection and adds really warming up into the idea of the baladi as it comes, the progression and building into it, you know.
Fascinating. All right. Thank you. And then I had one other question in the Q&A section with the drummer. You know, we have the percussion and the accordion, generally. Sometimes it can be a different instrument, but usually accordion.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, there is saxophone. This is nigh. There's so many. Yeah.
Is there a right or a wrong way? Do we focus as the dancer? Do we focus on the percussion or the accordion, or do we need to get both? What is the both? Okay.
Yes, absolutely both, because they are done in different timing, right? Yes. Now, when the percussion and melody are playing together, that's what we call layering, right? So you have to acknowledge both by layering. One part of you is doing the percussion, one part of you is doing the melody, right? Or the melody and the percussion in the same area, layered on the top of each other, right? So if I'm doing, for example, simple example, if I'm doing a figure eight, then my figure eight will be the melody, my shimmies on the top of it will be the percussion work, right? So I'm acknowledging both of them here. But in the question answer is always actually in separate timing.
Yes.
You know? So this one, stop, and then the other one answer, this one. So we must acknowledge it. Now, when we don't acknowledge it, because again, remember, art is not straight hard lines like what I'm talking right now. So sometimes if I acknowledge the distance and the spaces between one to the other, is makes it rushed and unnatural. You see what I mean? So how do I avoid this? So for example, sometimes the melody will say its phrase, and then the answer of the percussion would be completely right away in the tail of the melody, right? And then you feel, oh my God, I just finished this soft move, and now I have to answer that move. How am I going to do that? It feels like I'm rushed into things. Well, this is when you think about the appropriate part of your body that can catch that. And this is when, exactly, and this is when combinations and ideas does not make sense.
Right.
Because you need to understand where the first move settled and how effortless can I bring the percussion from which part of my body that I feel I did not go out and made disruption into my my fluidity of presentation.
Okay. Heather runs off to watch baladi videos of Nada. Okay.
Oh, pressure now, pressure.
Oh, no.
Because we're good at saying, right? Yeah, I hope I'm doing that.
I really enjoy watching your videos. They're very fluid. The transitions, you know, we were talking about how that's where the dance is. It's a nice study, and I appreciate that you publish those.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Yeah. So we really we've sort of talked a little bit about the culture. I was circling around some of this before we got started about the difference between the countryside dancing and the Cairo style. Where does Bellady fit in with the urban Cairo dance scene?
Okay, so the Baladi style is the character, okay? And that's why you have schools in Egypt where they say Baladi is not folklore. And then other schools say, well, it's folklore too, because it has, culture and has this and has that, right? So it's a big argument between us as an artist in Egypt is like, is Baladi folklore or not folklore? And then you'll hear different artists saying different things, right? And but the main idea of Baladi, the Baladi is a character, okay? And the character is the story. A style requires more than just this. Do you know what I mean? Like, I mean, a folkloric style, that's what I mean. So when you say the countryside, that's a whole dimension of a whole city dancing the exact same way. Same music, same ideas, same cultural references, etc., etc., right? So it becomes very clear is a folkloric style. Where Baladi is a really a character story that exists in the society because we have different type of women. Not every woman is a Baladi woman, even if she comes from the same class or the same sort of family, So I could be Baladi, my sister could be not Baladi. Do you see? It's about the character. What describes a Baladi woman, and I always describe this, I said, like, Baladi, it's a word that we always use to what's the word when you bring somebody down, like to say,
Oh,
you're Baladi.
Or yes, I know
Yeah,
what you mean.
domate, no, to bring somebody down, to
Diminish.
yeah, diminish somebody's like say, you're so Baladi, you don't know anything about the new world. Do you know what I mean? As if an
Perfect.
insult, Or you can use it in the same time as if it's like nada, really Baladi woman, real Baladi woman. Do you know what I mean? How it's a compliment here, right? And what is both means, right? So when you say this woman is a really Baladi woman, she's a real Baladi woman. When it's a good description, it describes how she's has all the criteria to be the best woman. She's very helpful. She's very strong. She's very weak when she wants to be, She's very beautiful. She's very sensual. She's very strong outside and telling everybody to back off, She's a very good mother. She's a very good sister. She's not scared of digging her hands into the mud and cleaning and taking care of everything. And she doesn't think this is something that will put a mark on her or make her look not good, And in the same time, she's not scared of being beautiful and dressed up and putting her makeup and walking like a woman and showcasing that idea of I'm a woman and I own it and I like it,
Yes.
I always say to my students all over the world, I say, for me, the Baladi woman is the best example of feminism because she has it perfect. Everything she wants, everything in there. She's not trying to be a man to impress men. She's who she is and she knows how to deal with them. Do you know? So when you think about it this way, this is a character. That's a character, It's a character. And then you have this character developing, which mean when I am 15, I'm the same Baladi woman? No, of course not. Because when you're 15, you're naive, you're still young. Your Baladi woman in you is still different. It's the virgin part of Baladi woman in there, And then when you're a little bit older and you're in your 20s, now you understand a little bit. And I'm going to say that this graduation of the biology woman comes from understanding life and understanding that she will be a mother, or that she understand what sex is, she understand what love is, you know, all this develop a different part of the biology woman as you grow, and every story of that character repertoire differently. If I'm going to do a ballet human between my sister and I'm 15 years old, my dance is going to be completely different than what you see. I choose a particular character for myself on stage, which is most artists choose two different characters. But all stories are applicable and they are called ballet woman.
Okay. I love the ballet.
Good answer.
She's fabulous.
Does it? Thank you. Does that answer the question, though?
Yes. Okay.
So I guess I was trying to tell you that there's a big difference between what is the urban and balladi and the countryside. Do you see what I mean? There's a big difference between all three of them, you know? Because urban stuff is nothing but us being inspired by you guys in the West. That's nothing except that. Do you understand? We are inspired because you get inspired by us, we get inspired by you too, right? But ballet woman, no, she has not been polished. She's still raw sugar. It's not refined yet. It's not put in cubes. It's not put, you know?
Okay.
All the stuff, yeah.
So going back to what you just said about what happens in Cairo being inspired by what happens in, did you say the West?
Yeah, like Western society in general. Yeah,
that's interesting. Well, we are very inspired. I'm speaking in general terms. I am personally inspired by what I see Egyptian dancers do. It's interesting that it would go the other way, but of course, I mean, it's a give and take. It's art.
Exactly. If you're going to, take away commercial part away, because that's a big factor too. When you put something in a commercial, once you are going to sell something, you are thinking about how to make it very artificially beautiful and you know what I mean? And stuff like that. And that takes a little bit from the essence of the, you know, being a ballet woman stuff. So when you put wet oriental dance, it's originally ballet and nawalim. That's what it is really, put on stage, right? Now it becomes more commercial and more inspired. And then the more the dancers are connected to the outside world, they're bringing more new ideas. And this happens since the 30s. It's not new that we have been inspired by different ideas, you know, Tahia Carioca, Samia Gamal, you know, all the stuff. They brought some element from the West to make the Oriental dance different, you know, a little bit more inspired. But the roots are still the same. So let's not go away from this. The roots always have to remain the same.
Yes, I absolutely agree. And it wasn't always like that for me. I think a lot of people, well, I shouldn't speak for other people. When I started, you know, it was about 13 years ago, and I had very little interest in folklore. And I'm so glad that I got over that because you really need that in order to do Oriental better and to fully understand. You shouldn't just pick and choose one little part, you know. It's better to have more knowledge. So
impossible. It's actually impossible. Like, for dancers who do not learn folklore, I feel I'm like, how do you do it? It's so difficult. It's impossible. It's like, what is Oriental dance? Oriental dance did not come out of itself. It came out of roots, and those roots are in these things that you need to learn. How are you going to repertoire any of that if you don't have any idea what the cultural references and the understanding of the music from top to bottom? How are you going to dance Oriental? It's really literally impossible.
It's very one-dimensional.
Absolutely. Wow. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, it's a set of moves that I'm putting it on the stage without any meanings and any understanding. It's a gibberish, you know?
Yes, it can be. It can certainly be that, yes. Okay. We talked about the lightning round. I want to do that, but before we get there, and we're also going to do question and answer because I imagine there will be some. If people were going to take one thing away from this call, what would it be?
I think study folklore 100%. You need to. It's going to enrich your understanding. It's going to make you a better dancer. It's going to make you speak truthfully.
Nice.
You know, can't be a good dancer without the truth.
Yes, that's wonderful. Okay, let's do the lightning round. Very quickly, your favorite things. This is Nada El Masriya's favorite things. And if you don't have a favorite thing on one of these, just say pass. Okay, you ready?
Okay, go for it.
What's your favorite book?
Dalai Lama.
Oh, okay. What's your favorite food?
Watermelon and feta cheese.
Together? Oh, I have to try that. All right, this is supposed to be a lightning round. What's your favorite base color?
What's base color? What
like
does that mean?
Like something.
Just color, color in general?
One color, what would it be?
Red.
Okay. And if you wanted to accent that, what would your favorite accent color be?
Sparkle. Any sparkle.
Yes. Sparkle. You are my friend. What's your favorite day of the week?
Friday.
Do you have a favorite poet?
Nizar Kabbani.
Say again?
Nizar Kabbani.
Okay. Do you have a favorite composer? That's hard.
No, that's difficult. I love a lot.
First one that comes to mind.
Bali Khamzi.
Favorite accent? A speaking accent.
Accent? Like what you mean, like speaking? French.
Do you have a favorite juice?
Juice?
Yeah.
No, I like coconut water.
Okay. All right. What about a favorite behavior?
Dancing.
Okay. That is a behavior. What's your favorite macam?
I don't believe there is a favorite maqam. I don't believe there is there should like be a favorite maqam. I don't think so because they play different feeling in different ways, right? So there's no particular way. Yeah.
Okay, I'll take that. How about your favorite instrument?
I know everybody's expecting me to say the accordion, but it's not. It's the violin.
No, this is all about you. We're just getting to know favorite things about Nada. Okay, yeah. The violin, that's very nice.
Violin, yeah.
Yeah, I love that too. It's very haunting.
It's beautiful. It's very emotional and dramatic. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. I think it's time for question and answer now. And let's see. If you have a question, I think the best way to do this, the most efficient way to do this, is to just give me a wave in the chat box so I can unmute folks one at a time so we don't have everyone unmuted at the same time. Can we do that? And you can, if you don't have access to the chat box or can't find it in, if you're on mobile, let's see, you can press *9 to raise your hand. And I will see that and fix you up that way. So if you're on the phone, press *9 to raise your hand. Everybody's being bashful. Okay, Charlotte has a question. Okay, Charlotte, please go ahead.
Hi, in the UK, we don't have much opportunity to dance to live music. So we have to go with recorded music as much as possible. What would you recommend as a good ballady track or music that we can practice the whole process in? that makes sense.
Yeah. You can hear me, right?
Yeah, I can.
Perfect. There's so many, for me, my favorite are a lot of tracks from Suhair Zaki's recording.
Okay.
Yeah, because they're very original and they're very, I like all the old stuff because I feel like it still has a lot of essence of the old days. But also all stars, Egyptian stars, they all have CDs and every CD has like a ballady piece that you can be using it and you can be working with it. If you want, what I can do after, I will maybe send a few links for a few free ones on YouTube for you guys to pieces of music for ballady to use to listen to it and to use it. And if you want something to purchase, I can also recommend a lot of different CDs, including mine has a lot of pieces. I have two CDs were two original composed tableaus as well. So I can give all the options. So if you want them free or if you want to purchase them, there is a lot, but they don't have a lot of particular names. They usually are ballady. They're called ballady or they refer to it as a ballady something, Gamal el Baladi, the beauty of ballady, etc., etc.
Well, that makes it easier if they call it ballady.
Exactly. Yeah, but I just mean it's going to be ballady 1, ballady 2, ballady 3. You know? But I could share that with Billy Dansky here, all the links, and you guys can have a look at it and see which one you like and work with it. And also would recommend my colleagues and my stuff as well if you wanted a piece that it's to purchase that has a story, because the old stuff doesn't necessarily have a story, right?
Mm. No, that's great. It's because it's very difficult to kind of know if you've got no communication with live musicians, you have to go from CDs, and knowing what is a good option can be quite difficult.
Absolutely. My favorite actually for teaching sometimes, because it has all what we talked about from the ballet progression, except the story. It's a piece, I think they call it Masya or something like that. And it's in, I'll just send the link. I'm so bad at remembering the details. I'm so bad with that, yeah. But I will also tell you about this. I'll give you guys seven ideas to draw from.
Okay.
That's fantastic. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
And I will put those on the resource page too.
Cool.
On the episode page.
Yeah, I'll send them to you, yeah, for sure, and you can book them, yeah.
Thank you for your question, Charlotte. Okay, who else? We have covered a lot of ground. Surely it has sparked questions from others. Anything at all? Anything? Or did we cover it all? So remember, the chat box is there. And if you're on the phone, you press *9 to raise your hand, and I'll see that and know who to unmute. It looks like we might have come to the end of this part of it. You just did such a wonderful job of covering everything, Nada.
Thank you.
Okay, so we'll just go ahead and start tying up we'll start preparing the finale and preparing for the exit. You have a lot of really great stuff coming up, and I just want you to tell everybody some of the stuff that's coming up in the next few months, and I will put these on the episode page as well. So what's coming on?
I always have a lot happening. I have the folklore intensive that I host in Toronto, Canada every year. This is our fifth edition. So basically just focused on folklore and different elements. And this year is very special because we'll be taking only three styles, and we're going to be focusing on those three styles, technique, culture, history, and prepping them for an optional of any of the dancers that want to perform it on stage. So we want to teach it. We want to explain all details, including technique. And I mean technique, we're going to drill till we drop, like we say. and really giving that opportunity for it to be put on stage so they can bring the knowledge into practice right away and really digging it into their head. So we'll be choosing and we'll be voting online for three styles of folklore, and that's what we'll be doing it. We're taking it from the beginning till the end to put it on stage. And that will be June 26th to the 28th. And then I have my live music course in Cairo with Dua Salem and, of course, Egyptian artists and live Egyptian musicians. And in that course, I'll be talking about all these details of musicality that we were talking about earlier, but in a broader way as well, not just about ballady, but about other stuff. Again, my courses try to cater to bring things into practical level. So we do it. We do the theory, we do the culture, we do all the whole package, and then after that, we go into practical, which is stages. So prepping them to know how to dance with live musicians and understanding music. This one is 4 days, and it's going to be July 11th to July 14th. And you can have an Egypt tour as well. Remember, I do own a travel company.
And a hotel, right?
And a hotel, yes. And last, it's the Masriyat Festival, which is the last weekend of October, October 31st. And I can't say anything about it yet because I'm not allowed to say who's the artist yet until we announce them.
Okay. So people can follow you on your Facebook page and get this information, yes?
Absolutely, on Instagram as well, yeah.
Okay, and I will put that on the Facebook page is on the episode page. That's facebook.com/Masriyat Dance Academy.
It's better to be Nada Al Masriyat. Nada Al Masriyat. Yeah.
All right. I will make sure that is the one that's on there.
Yeah.
And Instagram also.
Yes.
Same. Nada Al Masriyat.
Nada Al Masriyat. Yeah.
Okay. Perfect. And you have a mailing list too, I assume.
Mailing list? What do you mean?
Like for email?
Yes, of course. I have an email. Yeah. Okay. Egyptian Dance Academy at gmail.com.
Okay, email address, yes.
Is that what you mean?
Well, that's where people can get a hold of you. But do you have an email newsletter, or do you work mainly with Facebook and Instagram to get the word out?
Me, I work with the social media, but I'm sure we have all the other terminology, yeah. But I'm just not aware of it. I love my partners for that.
Good. Yeah. All right. Okay. So that's wonderful. I'll have all those resources on the episode page of all of your fantastic events coming up. And just a quick product of the month spotlight for Belly Dance Geek. We talked a lot about improvisation. And if you're interested in learning more about how to create improvisation on the fly, which is exactly what it is, check out our toolkit video series at bellydancegeek.com/improvisation-toolkit. And so just closing things up here, I want to thank everybody for coming. This is not the end of the call, it is the end of the call, but the conversation is not over. We have a private Facebook group, and shortly you will receive an email with an invitation to join that group. And you'll also get a link to the recording of this call, the audio only. And of course, all of the links mentioned in the call will be on the episode page. There will be a survey if you wouldn't mind giving me your feedback on that. If you have ideas for topics, speakers, any improvements that I can make, I am all ears about that stuff. The next call is going to be in March, but it's not quite scheduled yet. And I have my friend Lila Farid coming on to talk with us about dancing with a live band. She did that for many years in Cairo. And lastly, this is not the clubhouse that doesn't allow people. This is the come on in, not the no boys allowed kind of clubhouse. So if you know someone that's interested, please invite them to join us at bellydancegeek.com/clubhouse. And until next time, happy dancing. Thanks for listening to the Belly Dance Geek Clubhouse. For more Geektacular resources, visit us at bellydancegeek.com.